Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Las Vegas. On the broadcast today, the chair of the Clark County Commission, Marilyn Kirkpatrick, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. We are always pleased to welcome back to the program the chairman of the Clark County Commission, Marilyn Kirkpatrick. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. It's always good to see you.
Thank you. Well, this is an extraordinary time, obviously, for so many reasons. Coming out of COVID and now heading into, you've just had the Virgin Hotel opening in the former Hard Rock location. You've got Resorts World, as we're taping this, about to open in a couple of weeks. The convention center, World of Concrete, is this week, which is the first big convention. How are you feeling?
Really great. I mean, this is a great time for all of us because, you know, the last year and a half has been really hard on our community as a whole because we rely so much on tourism. But I'll tell you that we haven't been this busy in a couple of years, so it's nice to see all of the folks coming here and the conventions back on board. Our Allegiant Stadium has quite a few things booked out. The rodeo's coming back, NASCAR, Electric Daisy Carnival. So I think people are ready to get out, get going. And we can also see that we're extremely safe. We are the gold standard across the world. So we continue that and we're pretty excited.
It's interesting to look at all the things that are opening up. And the speed with which they're coming back, there were a lot of doomsayers that were saying that this was going to go on for 3 years before we would get any kind of recovery. Has the speed of things coming back surprised you?
So we do anticipate that it will still be a couple more years. Remember,
really?
We have a lot of social service needs more than ever. Housing prices are way up, so many people that are going to have to be renting now or paying an increase of what that is. So, but as far as sales tax numbers are extremely high, liquor and gaming tax numbers are increasing, but we still have a lot of work ahead of us when it comes to getting many of our most vulnerable families back on track.
At the same time, you're seeing a lot of money already come to the state from the federal government, and hundreds of millions of more coming to Clark County specifically. What are your thoughts on how that money should be spent? I've talked to some legislators, like Heidi Gansert, for example, who said that the state should do a listening tour of the citizens to see how to spend that money best. What's your thoughts on that?
So we have been doing a listening tour and we'll continue to have some community workshops. So there's six different categories on where we can spend the money. So you'll see some opportunities coming up later in the month of June and middle of July of where we can really see what the barriers still are to many people. So workforce, we have a lot of jobs that are open right now, so we have to make sure that people can get there. Child cares are opening back up. Mental health for many of our students is still a reality that we have to work with. So we'll be out talking to more constituents The commissioners have been really good through the testing and the vaccine, all of us working together, and this is an opportunity. This is probably our once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to really change the course in our community, and we don't want to mess that up, so we're going to do a great job with it to ensure that the money gets to where it is needed most to make life-altering changes.
One of the things that, to me at least, is exciting is that what looks like a good potential one way or another for an infrastructure bill on a federal level. What would you like to see infrastructure-wise for Clark County as the next phases if federal money becomes available?
So infrastructure is very important to us, and I would start with our water first, right? We are, as you know, we're already working on getting water out to Apex, which is super important for economic development. We're rebuilding a redundant line in Henderson. We're engineering what it could look like at Ivanpah. So water is our top priority. Two, we also have the ability to go in to many of our older neighborhoods need really infrastructure, and broadband comes to mind first. So you could live in Clark County and you could live in downtown Las Vegas and still not have internet access, and so we want to make sure that that happens. And we're working across the state counties together to ensure that all folks have access to internet.
Are you on board with this whole boring idea concept of the Boring Company has done their work under the convention center, and that's going to be operational this week as we're taping this. World of Concrete is in town for the first big convention to be here. Are you excited to see this spread across the valley?
So we are working with the Boring Company. I'm a big public safety person, so I have to make sure that we've thought of everything, what happens, worst case scenario. So we are working through all of those now.
For example, what kind
for
of?
For example, there is a portion of their line that is a little over a half a mile. So, and we also know that the tunnels only fit the Tesla-sized vehicle. So in the event that there's water or there's a cave-in of some type, how do I get folks in and out? And so we're working through all of those things. What happens? Who responds if there's an incident? Say there's a drunk person who doesn't want to get out of the car. What do we do? Does that stop the line? So we're just working through all of that. And pretty soon you'll see it on the county commission once all those scenarios are worked out.
One of the things I found interesting was I went to the Boring Company website, and they have a map of Las Vegas and all the potential areas where their cars would go. One of the places on that map is Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
How realistic is that, say, in the next decade?
Well, I think that we have a couple of things. So we have the rail system that has been working already for the last year and a half. And many of us can think back 20 years when we started talking about that.
But so this is Brightline now.
So this is Brightline. So we're working with that. We have a responsibility to our tourists to make sure that it's easy access to come to Las Vegas and to get back home. And so any opportunities that we can look at that will help expedite their trips makes a more pleasant visit for many of our tourists, and that's our responsibility.
Okay, but have you talked to anybody from the Boring Company about the potential to expand it to LA?
So we've talked to the Boring Company and Brightline as well. So this is, you know, their first actual loop system in the entire country. So we have to take it in small steps, and it takes a while to work through that. So like I said, nothing's off the table. Anytime that we can make our trip for our constituents better. I'd like to see one to Reno, quite frankly. It'd be a lot faster to go do a day's work and come back home at night. So opportunities.
That, you know, that's the, and I say this in a good way, the most outrageous statement since we had Florence Lenners, a Reno City Councilwoman years ago, talking about a train going from San Francisco to Reno, but it would be through the mountains. And but sadly, that never really occurred.
Well, you have to think about our international tourists. Where do they fly into, and how can they see all of Nevada in a short time frame?
Listen, it drives me crazy that all over the world we have high-speed trains, and in the United States we have a total of zero, which is crazy.
Someday.
cybersecurity. What are your concerns when it comes to cybersecurity when we've seen these two major incidents with the meatpacking company that lost a quarter of its output to the United States in just a couple of days? It's gotten back online, but that was a huge issue. And then the gasoline shortage on the East Coast because of a hacking attack there. People talk about critical infrastructure like power lines and water. How comfortable are you that we have the measures in place that we need to have so that we're not stuck in a 110 degree day with no electricity or something wrong with the water supply?
So if you'll remember back in 2007, we worked on that legislation back then when we seen that technology was really becoming a way of life. During the pandemic, 90% of everything we did had to do with technology. So we are making sure that that infrastructure is up to par for today's needs, and we continue to invest in it. And I would bet that most of the entities across the valley and for the whole state invested their CARES $1 to start with the digital learning and the cybersecurity. But also remember that we have a very robust Homeland Security group that meets on a regular basis. We have phenomenal fusion centers, so we're on top of cybersecurity way before its time, and now we'll keep up with the times.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Marilyn Kirkpatrick, Chair of the Clark County Commission, after this timeout.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
Welcome back to the Reno Rodeo. I'm Craig Downey, this year's Reno Rodeo President. The rodeo is back and in full swing. Join us for some great family entertainment. Pull on your boots, grab your hats for the wildest, richest rodeo in the West, June 17th through the 26th. We're back in the saddle again.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Marilyn Kirkpatrick. She is the chair of the Clark County Commission. There was a lot of talk in the political world that potentially that you might run against Governor Sisolak in a primary in the governor's reelection race. It would appear that that's gone away. Am I correct?
Right now, you know, my main focus is I've been working 8 days a week all for the last year and a half, and we have a lot of work to do to keep people focused, and I think that's where everybody should be focused right now is continuing to make sure that our community gets back on track.
So is that a definite no?
I'm just saying that it's way too soon for anybody to be talking about that.
When should the state of emergency be lifted, do you believe, in the state?
So what a lot of folks don't realize is the state of emergency is tied to FEMA dollars. There's a lot of outstanding FEMA dollars in across the state. And so until we can get some of those FEMA dollars released, it won't be, it shouldn't be released, including Clark County state of emergency, the governor's state of emergency. But What I would tell you is most people are practicing as it didn't exist, but it's there just for FEMA reimbursement.
That's the first time I've heard that. I've not seen that published anyway. So that's you're breaking some news.
That's the reason why.
Well, and I appreciate that. When you look at the announcement that's coming here, I believe around June 15th, that Joe Lombardo, the sheriff, is going to enter the governor's race. What were your thoughts on that?
You know, there's a lot of good people in our state running for the governor's race, but like I said, I'm focused on the priority today, and the priority today for me is ensuring that rental assistance gets out, ensuring that people get their jobs back. We have thousands of jobs available, and it's important to our tourists that we can provide a great service when they come here. So that really should be everybody's priority.
Just for a second to continue on this thought, years ago, Phil Satre, when he was running Harris, was considering running for governor as a Democrat, but people pretty much decided that having a gaming executive as governor probably wasn't a good idea. Do you think somebody from law enforcement is a good idea as a governor candidate on either side?
You know, that's up to the people to decide. So if you're asking me to take a position today, Sam, I'm not, because there are a lot of priorities that we really got to be focused on. You know, the legislature just went home, and now we're unwinding all the laws that passed. And Nevada is a great place to live. Been here almost my entire life, and it's a lot of great people, and we will see a lot of names thrown into the hat. And I think that the people will decide who's best.
I think they're the only ones that get the choice on that. Marijuana lounges approved at the legislature. You happy with that?
Me personally, I do not think that we need them. However, now they'll be coming before the board. So I have a regulatory responsibility to make sure that they're done right. And I like to live by the gold standard, and we will. You know, we'll see how they go. I have a lot of concerns on what does that look like? How successful will they be? I can't imagine that people will, that they'll hang out for a very long time because they'll just want to network and visit with their friends. And I don't know how successful that is for a business. And I'm not sure exactly of all the details of the law, but you spoke with Commissioner Sagerbloom earlier, so I'm sure
we actually did not discuss marijuana.
Oh my goodness.
I think that may be the first interview we've done in several years where we didn't. Mary Lau was famously quoted on this program as saying that when marijuana, if it becomes legally illegal federally, that the casinos will have the most beautiful marijuana lounges, and they'll be right opposite the $100 a plate buffet.
Maybe. You never know what you'll see tomorrow.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back with Commissioner Kirkpatrick after this timeout.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at the all-new Nevada Steak at Tamarack Casino. Great food, fine wines, and delectable desserts.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at the all-new Nevada Steak at Tamarack Casino. Great food, fine wines, and delectable desserts.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the chair of the Clark County Commission, Marilyn Kirkpatrick. On this program, the last time you were on, which is December a year ago, I am sad to say because I have not been able to come back to Las Vegas to tape the show until now, you said that you thought Ivanpah would be operational by the time you would be termed out, which was about 10 years. John Ensminger was on the program talking about doing the exploratory work for Ivanpah and, as you mentioned, APEX. Do you still have a 10-year timeline on that?
So we've been working on the EIS study. As I told you before, I think that we have to really be ready for tomorrow. In the event that capacity levels reach at McCarran, because the last thing that we want to do is not allow for that 50 millionth customer to be able to come through. So we are working feverishly through the process. We're talking about the water infrastructure, as Mr. Ensminger mentioned, the EIS studies, which Rosemary Vasiliadis is working through. And so there's a lot of work that goes into it. And so 10 years is a short time frame, but I think that we'll have quite a bit done and we'll need it at that point for capacity.
So now, how does the Clark County Lands Bill play into all of this?
So the Clark County Lands Bill, we'll need that regardless because that is a 30-year plan on our growing needs. And part of our needs in the Lands Bill allow for affordable housing so that we can have some affordable housing. More importantly, we have a lot of RRMP leases, and those are leases that we lease from the BLM, our lands which many of our schools sit on, many of our flood projects sit on, and many of those leases are coming up. So the importance of the Lands Bill is to turn that over to the rightful agency. Otherwise, we'll be paying the BLM for that land that many schools, parks, and infrastructure sit on.
Okay, so we have all this growth that's coming down the pike, and at this point in time, and a lot of it is already here, mm-hmm. and especially in northern Nevada, but still, even so, in southern Nevada, I'm seeing it in the casino properties that I'm going through now, that you can see the worker shortages. Wages are going way above $15 an hour, which was the new minimum that people were shooting for. Where do you think this is heading?
Look, with growth comes its own set of problems. And when you don't have growth, brings on another set of problems. So what I would tell you is we'll continue to work through the workforce. We're educating many of our youngsters today. We're pushing for those career and technical schools. So coming out of high school, they're ready to go to work. Two, we're also diversifying our economy as much as that we can in the valley, but all of that is going to rely on the infrastructure that we have in place in order to diversify and to bring other folks here.
All right, so diversification is an interesting word because it has a simple meaning, but it also seems to me that it's a little bit more complicated because you're never going to diversify away from the entertainment industry if we include gaming as part of the entertainment industry. 150,000 rooms, going to be even more over the next decade. Even if you build up an equal amount of jobs, basically what it says to me is if you have a downturn in the economy that shuts down the tourism economy, you still have a tax base that you're not at zero tax base. How do you view diversification?
Well, I mean, when you entertainment, the Strip will always be our number one priority because it employs so many people. And quite frankly, gaming gives back a lot to our community, whether it be through education, whether it be through all of the nonprofits that they support.
Sure, no argument there.
So we always have to protect our number one piece. But in today's environment, kids today want to know about technology. Everything they do has to do with their thumbs and how can they program. And so we have to be ready for that. And what we don't do a very good job is showing kids today that every single job they touch has technology. Whether it be a plumber, now you're using x-rays in order to see where the leaks are. Mini robot machines are within those casinos.
Okay, but I guess my point is that diversification really means you're creating additional jobs. You're not going to take away jobs from the entertainment industry to put people into another industry, you still need those people working in the entertainment industry.
Absolutely.
So basically, if you have, God forbid, a 9/11, or you have another COVID or something like that, where the entertainment industry crashes for that period of time, as you saw in Northern Nevada, the tech industry continues, and so you don't have as bad unemployment, therefore the tax base is maintained. That's really what diversification means in the long run, that you have other places where you're able to obtain the resources you need for government to be able to function.
Correct, correct. But that's a lot of different things. So in today's environment, technology is a key role in every single thing that we do.
Sure. Absolutely.
So whether it be the mechanics, you have to have technology to work on somebody's car. You have to have technology working on many of the machines, the boring machine and other machines that are right here. And so what we need to do a better job of is getting our kids career ready for that technology piece that fits in so many different facets of what we do, logistics.
Like so many things that you talk about, it's not just today, it's 20 and 30 years in the future, and that's what's important, and that's why we appreciate you, because you're very business-oriented, and that's a very good thing. Thank you so much for being here. We always appreciate you taking the time.
All right, thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Everywhere is Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.